Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, got you up earlier in the morning than you usually want to.
Yeah, I'm not a morning person. And you guys are just waving me in. This is an information factory here. Carol's waving
right.
out.
Yeah, waving me in. Yeah.
And I'm really worried because I was listening earlier, and I feel like you might arrange a marriage for me before I leave.
Well, we will encourage love.
Certainly.
And we'll encourage going to the Fountain Theater. Mm. But, you know. Yeah, you can work. I know you. I know you've found the first. Say hello to her. But having said that, the Project Jupiter, the county just voted 4-1 to issue huge industrial revenue bonds for a huge AI data center campus. Great idea, bad idea, a little of both.
My main objection to the process was the process.
Yes.
Mm. Which, starting at the legislature, where a last-minute amendment was added to a bill that completely changed what the bill was about, and quite frankly, legislators weren't aware of it. And, as a citizen, when legislative leadership and the governor sneak something through like that, mm-hmm. I feel betrayed.
Right.
Well, let me say something I should have said before. Steve's not only a pal, but he is a former state legislator and a former state public regulatory commission commissioner. So he actually knows things.
Yeah. And can you help provide that context about the bill and what was voted on, unbeknownst to us electorate?
Tell folks a little more about what you just described, the last minute kind of hiding the ball.
Well, yeah, the way the legislature works is there's a lot of committee work done up front. And in theory, when there's a bill, it gets heard in committees. Generally, a bill, if to go all the way through to passage, will go through two committees in the House, two in the Senate. And that's a chance for things to get vetted and the public to see what's going on mm-hmm. and know about it. The shenanigans happen at the very end. At the end of the session, a lot of bills have gone through the committee process. And the last 3-4 days of the session, there's just bills coming up in rapid succession.
Madness.
And people, need to vote on. If you want to sneak something through, what you do is you throw on an amendment at the last minute, in this case, a floor amendment. Legislators that are looking at 1,000 issues and all these bills coming at them, they tend to trust leadership mm-hmm. to tell them.
Right, what's coming up.
What's coming up, what it is, and where it goes. And it's very clear in this case, many, if not most, legislators had no idea what the real purpose of this amendment was, which was to grease the skids for Project Jupiter and grease them by essentially exempting them from the ETA and from the renewable portfolio standard. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened here. And so that was the first step in a hide-the-ball strategy.
We've had one legislator tell us that she was lied to by lobbyists for the company.
Yes, and I will say that without saying I like the project or I dislike the project, I will say that Project Jupiter representatives – have been less than forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. They have with me, and they refuse to show up on this show or even say, no, I'm not.
Well, there's a lot of information they could just put out there, and they don't.
And they won't.
They won't.
They had a lot of public sessions mm-hmm. when the county told them to, but they were running those.
Mm-hmm. Those were.
And if questions got asked. Yeah. Anyway,
those were sales gigs. Those weren't really public input.
The process really leaves something that's desired, whether it's a, and even interestingly, at And we should tell folks who don't may not know, there was a 7-8 hour city council or county commission meeting just about this. Most of that time was either a closed session where they disappeared for 30 minutes or so, leaving us out in the public comment, which was, and there was some on the other. There were definitely people who were proponents, union people, business people, people that felt it would be good. Mm-hmm. Chris Erickson had done a study, thought it would be good economically, and couldn't make it today. We invited him,
yeah,
but he has a class at this time. An embarrassing question, maybe. Who did it? Who did that? Governor? What leaders? Was our friend Nathan Small part of it?
I don't want to make accusations.
You know that whole
gig. But because you work with folks going down the road, and
so do I. But I gotta,
yeah. But you got to be like honest. But you know, obviously Senator Padilla, who you mm-hmm. know introduced it, obviously you have to call out Senate and House leadership who clearly had to know what was going on right. and said yes to it anyway.
Governor's office.
Governor's office. Absolutely, she was down here with her MOU, mm-hmm. and of course, if you look at the MOU, she was going to make this huge gas facility that they plan to build be permanently exempt from any ETA or emissions rules.
And one of her former lieutenants is an executive with
which made me very uncomfortable. I always hate mm-hmm. to see that because that just feels like, you know, this is a case where leaders in the government have been co-opted, and quite frankly, they're conspiring to hide the ball.
Yeah, it looks I was just going to say, that individual in particular, too, like not only part of the leadership, but financially part of the whole deal and stands to benefit financially from the project itself.
Well, that's what you always wonder is what else has gone on, what favors have been traded.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was named. So that was the other thing. She was named as she's named on their website as their government relations person. And her company specifically was named as one who could be utilized for AI. This bill didn't pass, uh-huh. but one of the bill they were trying to pass was that water systems could apply for state funding to utilize AI technology to monitor water. And her company happens to do that, have AI technology that monitors water quality.
Yeah. Well, the tip off to me about what, you know, the inside dealing and the hiding the ball. Someone came in the MOU
mm-hmm.
Where mm-hmm. To me they did this laughable thing of saying in the MOU that the data center would probably be and data centers in general can use AI to actually lessen right. carbon pollution, and you'll see that in the MOU as one of the whereases. And, you know, I feel like asking, okay, so who have you lined up as a customer mm-hmm. who's doing that? And where's the contract? And that's the problem with the county deal. Lots of promises, very little legally enforceable in the agreement.
Absolutely.
And having read through that agreement, and I don't even know what the final agreement they voted on is because it was changing
right.
by the second. And, you know, Heath Hausman did a terrific job
yes.
in covering that. You know, what a community hero in the way he was just stayed very objective in the way he put things in and was able to question his own thinking.
I'll say this again. Folks ought to check out, hope I'm allowed to say, folks ought to check out Hausman.com, spelled Hausman. And Heath Hausman, or you can just Google Heath Hausman, but he's doing some of the best local reporting. And since nobody's paying him for that, people can help, or people who can help ought to consider it.
I donated generously because I thought he did a terrific job. And on this. It's the kind of reporting that we all need.
I donated, but not nearly as generously, because I'm not nearly as capable of donating generously.
Well, you don't know what I call generous.
I'm not as generous.
You didn't test me on what I call generous. But.
We're not allowed to mention numbers.
Yes, I know. But the other side that's so disappointing about Jupiter is just how quickly the commission rolled over.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they were facing a lot of pressure from powerful people. I think they honestly felt there's a real economic opportunity here. But as quite frankly often happens, when you look at the background of these agreements and what they're signing up for, what the public hears that it's about is generally full of a lot of promotion and a lot of, what can I say? It's there's a lot of spin. And in this case, it sounds great. But when you look at the agreements, it's not enforceable. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, you mentioned that's really a key item. And I think, frankly, I think the county should have hired somebody from outside. I worked in that world where some of those lawyers who negotiate with the county lawyer are getting paid, you know, more money than you and I have ever made to do that negotiation. And they've done 20 or 100 of them in the past, and they know that if they put a certain word in, it'll have this consequence that you and I wouldn't have as a lawyer, I might not have a clue.
Sure.
They know how to, you know, they're experts, and you know, I mean, they've played in they're playing in the NBA, and you're sending, you know, the Grace's Storm Door Company recreational league team to go play them.
You're not even in minor league. You went straight to like a
I was going to say a middle school.
Right, exactly.
and again, this is nothing personal. Again, the county has a good lawyer, new in the position, has not done public law before, did elder law, and again, nothing against her as a person. I think she's going to be a fine lawyer there. But I would have hired somebody to help her along dealing with the major leagues.
Well, high-powered lawyers do that all the time. They know who's a specialist in patent law. They know who's they know they can only – the law is such a broad thing.
And so
you got to specialize.
I fault the county administration, and I have nothing against Scott Andrews. But, you know, I get the feeling from what one commissioner said in public about not seeing things – I get the feeling that maybe the management was doing this without a lot of awareness by the commission. Then they had secret documents that they saw, which Manny was here disputing. Mm-hmm. Was it just last week? Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned that, and Manny censures, "Ah, such thing." And then Bob Hearn said, "Well, I have a copy."
Yeah.
And it's,
Shout out to Bob Hearn, by the way. He gets involved in these things in a very positive way.
Very dubious to be passing around to the commissioners documents that say secret, do not distribute to anybody else, and telling them don't show anybody these documents.
On the other hand, you know, I think that the county commissioners acted in a way that they thought was in the public interest.
I think so, too.
There's an argument for the economics of it. I don't think the public would have approved of the idea of throwing out environmental issues, just sweeping them under the rug. And that's why you have a public process, is so you can hammer those things out.
Mm-hmm. Give you a perfect example on the enforceability. I talked to Lanham Napier, the CEO.
Yep.
And I said, you know, everything else aside, what gets me about this is, in our energy situation with climate madness, you should be using a lot of solar right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we are going to. That's our plan. We're signing this contract next week. Blah, blah. And he probably meant it. I don't know what his view of how much is, a lot would be. But the bottom line is, that ain't in the contract.
No.
And his main job is to maximize profits, and that's nothing against him. That's what a corporation does.
Yeah.
It's just, the, you know, what a corporation is not a church going, you know, individual that wants to follow Jesus.
He could get sued by investors if he doesn't press their interest, even to the disadvantage of the public.
Yeah.
And so you cannot look at an actor like that and trust their word. You have to see it in writing.
Then I want to turn it over to Daisy. But we should clear up the misunderstanding people have that when we issue, the county issues or approves $600 billion revenue bonds, the county is no way responsible for paying that back. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they didn't rule out nuclear power. And if, as Lynn Moore pointed out to the commission, if they use nuclear power and something goes wrong or even they just go belly up, the county is suddenly having, you know, they get the land back under the contract, and that means they're getting the liability to deal with. Am I right or wrong?
Well, yeah, I don't know for sure. That sounds like a likely outcome, although the Jupiter folks say that they're really not interested in the nuclear. They don't feel like it's arrived yet.
And I think they're right, but I'd still rather see it in the contract. I didn't hire Lenham Napier to represent me.
Well, that's the whole purpose of the contract is to protect the public, and that the contracts don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just say, and obviously, like, I'm a host here, and I have vested interest in terms of my organization working in Sunland Park and Santa Teresa with that community and around water. And so actually, Representative Nathan Small invited us to a meeting right after the interim Legislative Finance Committee that took place here back in August. Mm. And when we addressed it with him, and, you know, I mean, all to say, why is a legislator trying to make a deal on behalf of a company? That's a topic for a different show. But going back to this idea about Mr. Lanham Napier, you know, what I had brought up, and this is leading up to my question, is Lanham Napier, he's a businessman, right? He's not a scientist. He's not an engineer. He has a degree in business. So he is. He's trying to maximize profits. He could read a report about maybe, you know, water and how much data centers and closed loop and emissions and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean he's an expert in the field. And so what I asked from the representative was, I want to see a line of scientists who are going to explain this to us and then who will we will negotiate with, right? And then again, put it in the contract. So I want to know, Steve, if you can just provide the context around what that MOU allows in terms of emissions and what we could see as a result, because there is no restrictions, right, on what they can build. Because we're talking about the data center, but in reality, the natural gas plant that they're planning on building is where what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
We should say what they're planning to build.
The 700.
To size it, it'll put out emissions close to what our whole area, El Paso Electric, puts out.
Yes. And that's not a guess. That's very accurate. It'll put out more emissions than currently are put out by El Paso Electric throughout all of its territory in Texas and New Mexico. And that's a lot. And, of course, 80% of their business is Texas. So, I mean, so there's air quality implications, certainly, and certainly huge carbon implications. It's very clear from talking to both El Paso Electric and to Lanham and the Jupiter folks that the intent and the way the legislation was passed, the intent is to sell that 700 megawatt power plant to El Paso Electric by 2035. El Paso Electric wants to own it because they get an automatic 10% return on that asset. And Project Jupiter doesn't want to be caught up in trying to manage the grid down the road. So I understand that, but you have to also understand that the maximum power need for all of Doñana County during summer peak is 500 megawatts maybe. Well, this is 700 megawatts running continuously. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the Doñana County demand is maybe 150 megawatts. So this is a huge increase in air pollutant and carbon output. And, you know, my fear is theoretically they're supposed to adhere to the ETA.
And phase it out by 2045.
And right. But if you're adding 700 megawatts of gas power, there's no way that's going to happen. So you know there's going to be a heavy push in legislation to say, oh, we have to exempt the ETA for the long term. And you cannot do that, but your only option then is to shut down the data center. So if you got a lot of jobs, who's going to do that? So this is clearly a setup to say, push it down the road and then do a more permanent change to the law at the expense of the environment.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and just one more point. Just in expense of the environment, but also the people, right? I think that that's the other piece. And of course, again, my bias and what I was sort of trying to bring to the table was the people living in that community, people, you know.
It's already air quality compromised,
right? Exactly.
And, you know, that's always the context when you talk. That's health and safety.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, as we all know, it always turns out to be the less well-off part of our community that takes the brunt of it. Yeah. They just don't have the same voice.
This is a much bigger huge problem, more than we realize, in the sense, first of all, there are maybe national security implications to the idea that we do need to be developing AI as fast and as well as China will do. But if we're there doing this one thing here, there's also data centers in Montana, Wyoming, and
Virginia's got a huge...
Yeah. Virginia's got one by, I think, these same people, Slate or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But and they're all, this may more than most, but they're all adding to the emissions everywhere. And it just looks like an insoluble problem.
It's not, because they've done a great sell job in the industry of framing this as a national security issue when most of this is just pure commerce.
It's money.
It's what's on your phone. I mean, there's a small part that certainly is national security, and that's fine, but that doesn't mean you have to. Mm-hmm. And the second piece here is that I think a lot of people don't know is I've been working on the 20-year plan for El Paso Electric, doing public input. And for the next 5 years, they're at peak power. They're 25% short of enough firm resources, guaranteed resources, to meet peak demand on the system. And that's because they've already brought on some large customers, data center type, smaller projects, already planning, already have them in the pipeline. And so how did we get there? So this directly affects consumers, this whole landscape, and the reliability of their power.
Yeah.
It does indeed. I forgot what else I was going to say.
We're down to a minute, so
So down the road, I was just thinking in terms of, because the other thing the county liked to say was that there's going to be different steps and processes and regulations, and don't worry. So in terms of that piece, in terms of regulation, what does that kind of look like quickly in the last few minutes?
They're going to put out some permits, but there's also stuff in the contract about Project Jupiter reserving the right to sue if they feel like they're being discriminated against. Well, you know, who do you think's going to have the legal firepower if it comes to that? And the county's already signaled they're going to roll over. They took this out of, you know, pull it out of my whose deadline to do the vote. Well, they've already signaled they're going to roll over. And my big fear is a bully succeeded. And if a bully succeeds, they keep bullying.
Yeah.
And I think the county gave away a lot of leverage. And my fear is that's what's going to happen.
Speaking of bullies having their way, I want to switch to another subject that we'll discuss at more length with Marion Lanasi when we have her on the show in the foreseeable future. But we've seen these headlines that the State Water Quality Board did a long study and looked at the science and heard both sides, decided that produced water wasn't something that they ought to let people drink.
Don't call it produced water. It's fracking waste.
Yes. Okay, fracking waste. That's right. Thank you.
Let's be real.
No, it
yes.
is. Fracking waste, which is often called produced water because they treat it, but they don't tell you what's in it to begin with, so you don't know how well the treatment went.
I want them to sanitize the water, not the language.
Yes. Good point. Anyway, they made a decision based on science, and you know, so I think by law, you know more than I do about this, that's supposed to be final for at least a few years. And then all of a sudden, the governor says, I have some friends that don't like it that way. And she not only forced a rehearing, but changed the composition of the board legally. The her people had appointed folks, you know, to go to these things, and now she told everybody in her department, go there and make it come out the right. Very Trumpian. But what do you think about it?
I think you just described it. Very Trumpian.
Sorry, I meant it as a question.
It's a, okay.
It's,
oh, goodness.
Again, you know, leaders do that. Every governor I've dealt with suddenly thinks they're God, and they try to act like God, and I just wish, and that applies to Martinez, that applies to Richardson, that every
and
one
some of them
that,
are good people to begin with.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what it is. I guess it's a flaw in human nature. I really would love to know in another life if I turn into, I was going to say the word monster, but that's not fair. But if I just turn into this black hole trying to suck in power.
Power, yeah.
That it just seems to happen to governors.
Is there anything the legislature can do and say, you know, that, you know, the election does not
they can stop being,
make you a god?
I'm going to be a little rude here. They can stop being pussies. The legislature, you sit down there and they go, woe is me. The governor has the press's attention. What do we do? And I just sit there and I go, gee, leadership, just grow a spine. That's what you need to do.
Yes. A lot of folks need to grow spines. Better word than the other one, particularly on radio, though I think it's allowed. Not courteous. At any rate, it's been fun to talk with Steve Fishman. Daisy Maldonado and I, as co-hosts of Speak Up Las Cruces, enjoyed talking with Steve. We'll be back in a moment talking with the...
Thanks for having me on. And Daisy, terrific to meet you.
Oh, thank you.
Look forward to seeing you more.
I appreciate it.